Joining us on Mosaic today, more discussion about the events coming up this week on WCMU Public Television, the Hemingway in Michigan live streaming event, Wednesday, March 31st, 6 p.m. Again, a reminder that WCMU.org is the website where you can get registered for that. Now, spreading out from northern Michigan and Walloon Lake area where Ernest Hemingway spent so much time is a lot of tie-in across northern Michigan, and that includes the Michigan Legacy Art Park, which is in Thompsonville in the Crystal Mountain area. And we're happy to talk today with Patricia Innes. She is the artist and volunteer education director at Michigan Legacy Art Park. Patricia, thanks so much for freeing up some time to talk with us today.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
It's a year-long celebration stemming out from the village of Walloon Lake, the Hemingway homecoming, and the tie-in, as we said, has run deep for many, many years in that area. And I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about the origins of the Hemingway Haunts project that is there inside the Legacy Art Park, and where that development has brought you to this point in this year when there's going to be a lot of big celebration around Hemingway in Michigan.
It's very interesting. I've always been a fan of Hemingway's. In high school, I read several of his novels. But the inspiration for this project was a trip I read about that Ernest Hemingway took in 1916. I believe he was 17 years old, and he came across on a steamer from Chicago with his friend Lou Clarahan, and they basically fished their way from Frankfurt up to Walloon Lake on an 11-day fishing trip. And they started out in going from a train to Onekama and then hiked to Calava and fished along Bear Creek. And then they, for a couple days, and they moved on to the Boardman River. And eventually they ended up in Kalkaska at Rug Pond. And I actually live very near Rug Pond. And they fished there for several days before heading on north. But when I read it, that he had been there, and he fished, and he enjoyed it, and he took notes, everything, how many fish he caught, and he wrote down ideas for short stories, and this is when he was only 17. And at the time, I was creating figures of myself and flowers that actually floated on the Rapid River, and there was something about him knowing that Hemingway had fished very near there, and he found it inspiring, that it was, this is going to sound strange, but it's like we reached through time and space and sort of connected on the level of inspiration. And that inspired me to create the artwork at the art park. But it was sort of the tail end of another project where I worked with school kids across northern Michigan to create shadows on trees of Hemingway and Lou Clarahan where they fished. And I did this. I made natural dye out of black walnuts, made life-size patterns out of vinyl of Hemingway and Lou, and pushpinned them to trees, chalked around them, and students painted them in with the natural dye.
Hmm.
And they also did their own projects, like the Brethren project, history project related to the time Hemingway was there. And then the end of the project was at the art park. I created these shadows on trees. One is Hemingway as a young man, a young child of four, actually, fishing at Horton's Creek. And another shadow was Hemingway as a young man, about 17. And then behind that is, on a row of trees, are figures from his novels. One was of the old man in the sea, and as the model I used his captain of his boat, the Pilar, Gregorio Fuentes, and the other two figures are Maria and Robert Jordan from For Whom the Bell Tolls. And for those patterns I used Gary Cooper and Ingrid Bergman, who starred in the movies. So that is basically the story of that piece at the art park.
Patricia Innes is an artist and the volunteer education director at the Michigan Legacy Art Park in Thompsonville. And it is the vast areas of northern Michigan, Hemingway in Michigan, that is being celebrated this year, Walloon Lake's year-long celebration of the Hemingway Homecoming. Now, this Wednesday, March 31st at 6 p.m., WCMU Public Television will air Hemingway in Michigan, a live streaming event. Registration information at WCMU.org. And on April the 5th, at 8 p.m., public television stations across the country, including WCMU, will be airing the film by Ken Burns on Ernest Hemingway, with an awful lot of ties to this northern Michigan area, which he has become known, that connection that has gone into so much of the legacy and the story. It's a three-part, six-hour documentary by Ken Burns and Lynn Novick that premieres on April the 5th. Patricia, I wonder, I'm admittedly not as well-versed in this connection. I mean, I've heard about it from afar, but I've not gone on a lot of, say, the self-guided tour kind of concept, or gone to a lot of these areas where Hemingway was known to have been, or things of this nature. So when you say you read it in a book and it inspired you to go out and start creating this art, how much of it is marked, or do you feel that the art now is kind of like takes the place of, you know, a little historical site plaque or something that somebody might put there? I mean, how does one is one able to connect in the way that it affected you and impacted you when you went out into these natural areas, knowing the story behind them, and then really drawing, as you said, on the spirit of Hemingway himself to be inspired to create the art?
Yes. On the Michigan Hemingway website, you can find a list of spots you can visit that tells different things that happened there. So you can take their guided tour, and at some of these places there are plaques, and some there are not. At Rug Pond, there's a plaque that says, Hemingway may have fished here, or something to that effect. But yeah, you have to sometimes do a little research. But the Michigan Hemingway Society website is a really good place to start if you want to tour the locations. But I also wanted to tell you about another artwork we have at the Art Park on Hemingway. And this is the Big Two-Hearted by the Art Park founder, David Barr. And he basically created a little stream, not an actual stream, a virtual stream, using pebbles that wind their way through the park a little bit. And then he has big boulders. And on the boulders are excerpts from Hemingway's story, The Big Two-Hearted River. I think there's about five, six of them. And you follow them upstream. And the last one is where Hemingway has released a trout, he was trying to fish, and released it, and it goes back into the water, and it's not moving, and he reaches his hand down and touches it, and it swims off, and the last comment on the last boulders, oh, he was just tired, he's okay. And there's a sculpture of a trout there. The original one was by David Barr, but it was went missing, so Gary Kulak was hired, commissioned to create another trout for that piece. But it's very nice because you can really get a feeling for, even without water, you can get a feeling for being in the woods and reading the story, and it's quite moving, actually.
Hemingway Haunts and The Big Two-Hearted, both amongst the things that you can take in to be in the presence of Ernest Hemingway in that true artistic and natural sense at the Michigan Legacy Art Park in Thompsonville. Patricia Innes, who is artist and volunteer education director there, speaking with us today on Mosaic. So these things, obviously, as you've been telling us, have developed and been added to, and the whole experience has grown over time. Are there plans at all? And we have to, of course, put it in the context of the era of COVID, which I'm sure has slowed an awful lot of the activities and altered plans that may have been in place. But at this juncture, as we start to look beyond the worst of the pandemic and some sense of normalcy returning, are there plans that you have or that others have in wanting to contribute to the park to add on to that Hemingway story, or in that general area, to build more on some of these other connections through his writings that will highlight and bring to life some of the things in which he wrote about in that time in northern Michigan? Are there plans to do even more, perhaps in the weeks, the months, or the next year or so as we move forward?
I think what our plans would be in the schools, to reach out to the schools and work with them on Hemingway-related projects, like we did with the Brother in Hemingway History project, so that kids can connect to Hemingway and to their own history and create artwork based on that. I think that is, you know, our goal right now is to deepen our level of education relating to Hemingway. And it's interesting because you think of him as a very adult writer, but I did a project with Kalkaska fourth graders, and they illustrated the first two or three paragraphs of The Big Two-Hearted, where Nick Adams is off the train, he's watching the fish in the river, and it was they did some really nice work on that. So Hemingway, you can approach him at almost every age level, as meaning. It's quite an amazing writer.
Looking back at a time 100 and 100 plus years ago, to the time that Ernest Hemingway was in Michigan, and all of that time being brought into our modern times through the year-long Hemingway homecoming events out of Walloon Lake, and the tie-in and the connection to the Michigan Legacy Art Park in Thompsonville. Patricia Innes, artist and volunteer education director there, telling us some about what is there and what we can add to it, and especially in doing so through the schools, passing on the writing and the work of Hemingway to the generations to come. Patricia, thanks so much for spending the time with us, and we wish you good health and all the best moving forward, and the chance to get out there and more actively engage with especially the young people, and bring that spirit that touched you about Hemingway and being out in nature to those young ones as you move forward and continue to celebrate the Hemingway haunts and the Big Two-Hearted there in the Legacy Art Park. Thanks again so much.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.